Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. A bunch of them is about good initiative, bad judgment. I think that's going to encompass the story of an Air Force general who is warning his troop via a memo that we're going to be at war with China in 2 years. And then there was a CEO in the business world who said that she was firing a bunch of people, but put a quote about Martin Luther King Jr. in her email about firing people. So we're going to talk about if that was good initiative or some bad judgment. And finally, we're going to do a little bit of Katie's news roundup. And all that's going to be started with cons without a mustache. Here we go. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you're at your best, you can do great things. But sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel overwhelmed or like you're not showing up in the way that you want to. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you. Because when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything that life throws at you. I'm recording this now on a Monday, and once we're done at 10:45, it's 10:30 now, I have an appointment with my therapist with BetterHelp, and I do every single week. I talk to him on Monday morning at like 11 or 12 o'clock every single week to make sure that I have my brain housing group in order and that I went to the brain dentist that week. If you're thinking about giving therapy a try, try BetterHelp. It's a great option. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you want to live in a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/zero today. Get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero. Once again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero. All right, Cons, I got to admit, starting the show, you got a mustache. What happened?
I was told in no uncertain terms that, you know, Household Six had had enough.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, behoove me to comply with those orders to get rid of it by the time she got back.
So
here we are.
That makes sense. At least she's going to be happy because the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. She cares a lot about that too.
Yeah.
So this story is one, the first one that we're going to cover today is one that it's kind of surprising. Like I would even understand this if this story came from like a brigadier general, maybe a major general. But this is a legitimate four-star general that this story is about. Kate, can you walk us through this story from Task and Purpose?
Yeah, and first of all, for anyone who watches BoJack Horseman, the general in this case kind of looks like McBeal, the Navy SEAL, McBeal the SEAL from that episode. Mm-hmm. He's got that vibe to him.
He does.
Anyway, voiced by Patton Oswalt, I believe. I wonder if he sounds the same. Anyways, okay. So, and I was wondering this too. So a top general, he basically just, this was a memo that he sent to his, everyone under his umbrella.
Yeah.
Kind of just, and it reminded me of like, every now and then at 3 a.m, you get a text from an old friend you haven't heard from in a while. And you're like, oh, you're drunk. This is a weird text. Okay. And this is kind of what I felt this was.
Yeah. It's essentially like a email to the entire organization, just printed out. That's all it is, essentially.
Yeah. So anyway, a top U.S. Air Force general is not only preparing for the possibility of an armed conflict with China, but believes it will happen in the next 2 years. That first part's normal. We should be preparing for that.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. That's the whole point.
It's going to happen in the next 2 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. General Mike Minahan wrote this in a recently released memo citing both the U.S. and Taiwanese presidential elections in 2024 as a source of geopolitical distraction that China might use to launch a full-scale invasion of Taiwan. How does Minahan expect commanders to accomplish readiness for war with China, aka World War III, essentially? Among other things, the memo ordered all AMC personnel with weapons quals to fire a full clip of ammo into a 7-meter target in February. This guy's got to be on mushrooms or something. Just typing.
Right. Like, and I put in some of the actual memo, and it sounds even like, I think Task and Purpose elevated the way that the memo sounds. It sounds pretty elementary. So the first line of it says situation. And this is from a 4-star general. It starts with the pronoun I. So it starts with I. That's not the way you do a memo. It's supposed to be directed at everybody. Situation: I hope I'm wrong. That's the very first line in the body of this memo. I hope I'm wrong. Next, my gut tells me we will fight in 2025. Xi, not President Xi of China, just Xi, X-I, secured his third term and set his war council in October 22. Taiwan's presidential elections are in 2024. So he goes on to give some pretty good background on the situation between what's happening in China and what's happening in Taiwan. But he goes further and further into this memo till he gets to the point that's called commander's intent. He says, go faster, drive readiness, integration and the agility for ourselves and the joint force to deter, and if required, defeat China. This is the first of 8 monthly directives from me.
These are all going to be great.
They are. You need to know I alone own the pen on these orders. No, you don't, dude. The president of the United States is the end all be all.
This is a guy nearing the end of his career who I'm sure has done a lot of great things, but it has read so many James Patterson novels, and he's like, I haven't done that shit yet.
I want to be my own Alex.
I want to be Jack fucking Reacher, and I'm running out of time. And so this memo kind of reads like the start of one that you'd see like in a fucking James Patterson novel.
This memo reads like it's a text message between him and one of the other commanders. It's not like, I'm not necessarily saying you need to talk like super formal. You can be a little less formal if you really want to. But I don't know. This just feels extremely like almost like he had a little too much to drink one night. And he's like, you know what we need? This is what we need. And he start banging out this memo.
Like to hear a general of that, like of that high of rank, literally write, fire a full clip of ammo into a 7-meter. This is what I think would happen
on those days, you know, like bring dad to work, bring mom to work, bring kids to work. Like if you let specialists and junior sergeants write the command memo for a 4-star general, I think this is what they would think it was supposed to be, that it sounds motivating. Because in the next part, he says, my expectations are high and these orders are not up for negotiation. Follow them. I will be tough, fair, and loving in my approach to secure victory.
Yeah, this is bizarre. This is my favorite line. When you can kill your enemy, every part of your life is better. Your food tastes better. Your marriage is stronger. What, dude? What are we talking
about? So many people are like,
that sounds cool. That's cool sounding.
And people are saying, like, this command's job is like tankers and refuelers. Like, this is not.
That's the best part.
It's not like SOCOM. Like, but this does happen. I think it should happen. Like, you should tell people. You pray for peace, but you prepare for war. I mean, that's a commonality in the military the world over.
Yeah,
but you don't give like the exact timeline. And even the Department of Defense is like, maybe we don't go that far at all.
Yeah. And he's done other memos regarding future conflicts with China in September. He went on what other experts and other people among his rank were calling a bizarre and untethered rant at the Airspace and Cyber Conference, warning that China poses an existential threat to the U.S. and that the U.S. military was not ready for a fight in the Pacific Island chains against a Chinese government that was tailor-making an air force to kill the U.S. Air Force. And again, like, look at the news.
That's great.
China is making moves. They are dabbling along. But it's just really, that's more of, you see it coming from like Secretary of Defense James Mattis. Mm-hmm. He's got quotes like that. There are some assholes in the world that just need to be shot. If you fuck with me, I'll kill you. And this Mattis was right there on the front lines of the war, whatever. Minahan is not a former Marine rifle company commander.
No, he's not.
He's a C-130 transport plane pilot.
And not the poo-poo on those guys. Like,
That's an important job.
Great job. But you're not, and you, anyone in that line of work would also say, we're not the tip of the spear. Like, that's not the way that it goes down. We're not. But he goes on to say, like, he calls himself untethered, Kate. Like, that's the reference that he makes to himself. He goes on to say, why is the mobility guy talking about lethality? And in answer, he reminded the audience, this is who we are. We are lethal. Do not apologize for it. The pile of our nation's enemies dead, the pile that is the biggest, is in front of the United States Air Force. This is why we mutiny. In 1947, the year the Air Force separated from Army as a result of an act of Congress, I don't think fighter pilots are the only ones that have a birthright to fly an airplane solo. And in order to generate the tempo required to win, it's not hard to imagine a pilot and refueling boom operator sleeping on the bunk of a tanker jet while another pilot and boom operator shifts the plane and refueling friendly aircraft. He basically makes it sound like that speech cons at the beginning of We Were Soldiers when they're getting ready to go to Vietnam. He's doing this for tankers. There's no act of war like that he's going to do.
This is a pogue unhinged. This is like me when I first got home from boot camp in the driveway showing my high school buddies hip thrust. I'm like, check this out. I could kill you if I wanted to. Yeah, no, I couldn't have. Cut it out. Anyway, okay. Well, anyway, I'm interested to see these other memos that he comes out with. He also kind of went viral on Reddit. Normally, everybody gets their service photos taken, especially in high ranks. It goes on the wall of your command.
And this is a move I did like. This next move, I appreciated. I like this one.
And so you're in your dress uniforms. You get all your ribbons. And if you're at that rank, you're at much higher rank, your stack is insane. It goes all the way down your chest. Well, his photo went viral because he had only three, which were based in unit-based rather than any of his individual awards. Because the memo states, like, or the rules state, like,
you can pick
any. And so normally, no-brainers that everyone goes with all their ribbons and medals.
Typically, it goes, if you're going to pick three, it's top three that you'll pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so he went with only three instead of the whole big stack to show, like, units more important than anything that I could ever do. Which
I like
cool.
That.
It was a good
thing.
Well, I like that. If you look throughout history and some of the massive names in military history, a lot of them never really had big stacks. So they definitely earned them, but they never wore them. So I understand where he's getting it from there.
Mm-hmm. But overall, other experts are saying, military experts like U.S. Navy Admiral James Stavridis, I probably just busted that name up. This guy was Supreme Allied Commander for the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. He says the likelihood of war with China is actually decreasing, not increasing. Other people are saying, listen, we know we got to be prepared or whatever, but we're not looking for conflict. We're trying to make sure our lines of communication remain open with them. Like, war is the very last fucking thing we want. So everybody,
my favorite Kate moment about this whole thing is that she said some people, and that's in reference to President Joe Biden and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin.
But I mean, I'm also saying, like, I follow a million military people on Twitter, expert, and from what I'm seeing from all the top people is, like, they're on, like, they're making moves out there, whatever, but, like, nothing seems imminent. Like, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, people, it's a little bit of a beating of a war drum. And there has been escalation. Like, even this weekend, there was a news article that came out that they found more different types of large ships, naval ships that China's starting to build. They had, like, satellite that there's, like, seven more of the big ship that they're making. So they're trying to expand their Navy. Yeah. That is a big threat. Nobody's trying to say that. It is not the responsibility or in the purview of the air command to be like, we're going to go to war in 2 years. That's just not
tank,
their job.
Air Force guy. Yeah, no, but whatever. Hey,
you don't train like we're going to war next week. Like, you can say that all day long and you should.
This guy reminds me of, I'm sure you all follow people on social media who are the people who, like, every day seemingly they post the ultra motivated things on, like, Instagram. Like, you got, the quote unquote rise and grind people.
Yeah.
That's this guy's just reading a little too much on social media. He needs to calm down a little bit.
Loves Pinterest motivational
books.
He's got so many pinned. He absolutely loves them. All right, let's move on to some good initiative, bad judgment on the week, because as you know, all across the landscape, there's lots of companies that are doing layoffs. But I read this weekend that's kind of reversing course a little bit. I don't know if that's going to happen. But what do we have here, Kate?
I am so glad we're saying bye to those April showers, because honestly, I couldn't be more ready for the weather to warm up so we can properly enjoy the season of shorts and dresses. This truly is the best time to refresh your warm weather wardrobe, and Abercrombie has literally the cutest shorts and dresses right now. Even better, they add new stuff every single week, so go to Abercrombie.com, or even better, go download the Abercrombie app so you can shop for the season's best new arrivals.
So basically, again, across like Google, Amazon, I mean, massive amounts in the tech world of layoffs. Like, who was
Twitter.
It Google that laid off like 18,000 people or something, like some insane.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, the CEO of PagerDuty opens up with, this is their big layoff announcement. And also, I had to double check and make sure that this was real because I saw on Twitter.
I did too. Yeah.
Somebody else did one. They were like, it was like, Siri, use MLK quotes in a major tech layoff announcement. And so I right. thought this was a joke, but this is real.
I thought, you know, there's been tweet threads that go viral from this one dude that was like, I made a computer watch 700 hours of Seinfeld and write an essay by itself. Yes. And then it spouts out like the most ridiculous shit. That's what this is.
Yeah. So the head of this San Francisco-based cloud computing company was widely mocked on social media when she sent an email to employees announcing layoffs while quoting the late Martin Luther King Jr. Jennifer Tejada, the CEO of PagerDuty, was blasted after a 1,669-word email to employees announcing that the company would be refining its business structure by slashing 7% of its global workforce. And she gets through that part. Okay, fine, you're all laid off. That's painful enough. Then she ends the memo with a quote from a sermon by Martin Luther King from the book The Measure of Man. I am reminded in moments like this of something Martin Luther King said, that the ultimate measure of a leader is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand during times of challenge and controversy. So in a way, she's kind of S-ing her own D at the end of
really
this.
She really is.
She's like, good on me for having the strength. Aren't I just like Martin Luther King?
She glucked 3,000 the shit out of herself right there.
Right. Just very, very bizarre. She's getting roasted for it. And it was just a painful thing to read. So if you're a leader,
Can we just have a hard and fast rule if you're in a leadership position? One, unless the antidote that you're talking about is social justice and racism related, probably don't invoke Martin Luther King Jr. because it's just always going to be
good rule.
Bad.
Good rule.
Let that go.
Secondly, do not compare anything to the Holocaust that is not the Holocaust. People, unless you're actually Hitler, don't compare it to Hitler because there is no comparison to Hitler. Unless you're going to talk about like Mao and Genghis Khan, you can talk to them about being like Hitler. But other people, guy at the street that didn't give you enough ice cream, that guy's not like Hitler. Like,
right,
he's just not.
Right. Anyway.
Certain things you should just remove from your vocabulary altogether. But you know what this reminds me of? You remember, and Chaps, probably because you said we were soldiers, it jogged my memory how the army at least used to notify families of death in the family was just by a telegram. That's how this is, right? That's where it reads. And, you know, they eventually changed it to where you have a chaplain and an officer assigned to let you know about that death. I get when you're laying off this amount of people, it's really hard to do, but they need to find a happy medium where they're just not getting a blanket email that buries the lead four paragraphs in that they're getting laid off.
This is wild, cons. We just talked about don't compare things to Hitler or Martin Luther King. You're like, well, this message is kind of like dead troops.
Very similar. Yeah, this is. I did see where
we
said
use Hitler.
True.
Where people were finding out whether or not they were fired, if their key card worked on the door or not when they went to work that morning. And that's brutal. I can't imagine rolling up to Barstool and it being red and me being like, why can't I? And everyone
just
passing
tell
me
people.
And then be like,
I mean, because that's the only good thing about getting laid off is that you get to sleep in. I mean, that's the only real bright side. You get to sleep in the next day. That's great. All right, let's move on to Katie's news roundup. Kate, what we got?
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever. You can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Yeah, I only have two quick things. One, over the weekend, scrolling Twitter, and I'm like, oh my God, someone's bombing Iran. And I didn't know if it was because of all the protests that going on there. Was it like sabotage from within or anything like that? I was surprised to find, because despite doing Zero Block 30, I don't know that much about international relations, Israel.
And we didn't get the update from John McCain like the last time that he sang, bomb, 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 Iran. You remember that? Do you guys remember that? He legit did that. Like at his on his presidential campaign, him and Sarah Palin, like bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran.
Well,
it is a fire song, though.
It is.
Scrolling Twitter, I see these tweets from different places around Iran that bomb, like someone somehow had bombed their munitions plants and stuff like that. I'm like, holy shit, this is a big deal. Turns out it was probably Israel. Iran claimed to have intercepted drones that struck a military industry target near the center of the city of Isfahan. And Isfahan, I'm an idiot. Yeah. Isfahan.
No, you nailed it.
And said there were no casualties or serious damage, but the extent of the damage could not be independently ascertained. So we're just relying on Iran saying, no, this was fine. No big deal. Because the videos looked pretty fiery and looked pretty bomby. Okay. there's also no comment from Israel. But pretty much everyone's saying it was Israel. The attack came amid tension between Iran and the West over Tehran's nuclear activity and its supply of arms, including long-range suicide drones for Russia's war in Ukraine, as well as months of anti-government demonstrations at home. And so they had signed, what was it, 2014, 2015, the nuclear agreement saying, okay, we're done with weapons and all that crazy stuff. But they're clearly not. And Israel and these other countries are saying, you giving Russia all these weapons and suicide drones is a clear sign that you're still meddling and doing shit you shouldn't be.
Yeah, because we pulled out of the agreement. Like, that was a big part of it. We pulled out of the agreement for them to stop. So now they kick things back up again.
Yeah, so Ukraine is accusing Iran of supplying hundreds of drones to Russia to attack civilian targets in Ukrainian cities with these suicide drones. Zelensky's, one of his main aides, tweeted, "Explosive night in Iran, did warn you." Like saying, yeah, you're getting slapped on the wrist because of what the fuck you're doing. Iran has acknowledged sending drones to Russia, but says it was before the invasion. We didn't know. And a lot of them shot down and recovered in Ukraine they're like, oh, yeah, look, these are absolutely from Iran. So Iran's just doing their fucking thing as per usual. Some people were like, holy shit, this is an act of war that blah, blah, blah. But I don't know what will come of this. I tried to read an article explaining all the geopolitical implications of all this. It involves Syria and 20 other countries and blah, blah, blah. So I'll just tell you this.
Speaking of that, Kate, do you think the last 20 years has changed our threshold for what we view as an act of war? Because we want to be a little more hesitant to get involved in something.
I think we've always done like little onesies and twosies here and there. And like, what, we're like bombing Africa and all these places right now and nobody even cares or knows. So I don't know what kind of
thing. But we did have a good bombing the other day. I will say that because they reported no collateral damage, took out like 22 different Al-Shabaab fighters, including the dude who was in charge of ISIS in, I forget what country it is, but he's involved in ISIS somewhere where Al-Shabaab is really like lighting things up, but he got lit up and got killed. So
where was that?
I don't know. I don't remember what part
See,
it was.
Fuck it. Who knows?
But it was Al-Shabaab, somewhere where Al-Shabaab's fucking getting anyway. After it. All right, let's move on to... is that it, Kate?
No, I got one more quick one. Camp Pendleton. Every military base that you get onto, there's a gate and there's MPs and civilian gate guards. More civilian gate guards than MPs these days. And they have all the bollards and the serpentines and the whatever. And there's those one things where if you drive over them, they're flat, but if you hit a button, they go like a fence pops up immediately with the metal poking right towards the cars. And I always thought, man, my finger would be so itchy to hit that button just to fling those suckers up. Well, somebody on Camp Pendleton got to do it over the weekend.
Oh, wow. That's fun.
Yeah. A driver attempted to crash through the main gate, came barreling around 6:30 p.m., tried to get on, and a guard deployed the final denier barrier, which popped out of the ground. The sedan slammed into it, burst into a fireball of flames. The driver had to be taken to the hospital. But I just want to, whoever got to hit that button, God bless you. Because
so look,
that's
especially if they're being nefarious. If somebody was like having a medical condition, that would be a different story.
That would be a different story.
If somebody's doing nefarious, making them smash into something, oh, buddy, that would fucking come.
What a great feeling.
We didn't have it this year, this past season, but in previous seasons, there was some defense contractor who paid for advertising. In every home game during the fourth quarter, they'd show a promo video of all the different styles of gates, and the entire promo video was just vehicles smashing into these gates, and the crowd would lose their mind every time this video came up. And understandably,
I thought you meant us had advertising. I was like, I don't
know. No. Army. That'd be sick. At Army games. Yeah.
Today's episode of Zero Blog 30 is brought to you by our good friends at Raytheon.
Yeah. We'll accept those sponsors.
Dave Reynolds and Alibis today is brought to you by our good friends at Halliburton.
If we are going to war with China in 2 years, highly recommend investing.
True. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Before we forget, we'll start with cons. But before I forget, I want to give a shout out, and I know I'll forget this part.
Hockey is on. And no matter the city, no matter the team, no matter the game, whether it's face-off or penalty shots, regular season or playoffs, win or lose, no matter what happens, no matter where it happens, New Amsterdam Vodka is there.
The VA here in San Antonio, they built a new clinic, and it was so thoughtful. Like, the way that they built this clinic was incredibly thoughtful. When you walk into the hospital, typically you will walk in and you'll see like the welcome desk and like where they're going to answer your questions. The moment that you walk into the new VA in San Antonio, it's the prosthetic department. The moment that you walk into the doors, think about how many people have lost limbs in like the last 20 years. And to be so thoughtful that you put that right away, so it's not difficult for them to get upstairs or to get across. I thought that move was unbelievable. I thought it was a great, great gesture and just the thoughtfulness. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you.
Okay, why not? Yes. So obviously we had the championship Sunday with all the different games and everyone's talking about, oh, it's going to be the Kelce Bowl and oh, it's going to be the Andy Reid Bowl. When in fact, this is going to be the Army Football Bowl.
No.
Why?
No.
Here's why.
No.
Here's why. No. I love
Here's
it.
Why.
No. I love it.
Here's why. Kate, you don't get.
Yeah.
Kate,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Your opinion
it,
matters
cons.
About that much to me.
Get it, cons.
I don't hear a peep from you all year.
The Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, and the last thing on the entire planet I want to hear about right now is Army football. But go ahead.
Well, here's why. There is an Army football player on both rosters, so this will be the first Army football player
to get a
Super Bowl ring. Now, we've had coaches get rings before. Mike Sullivan got two with the Giants. And Tony Kokesum got one with the Broncos, but this will be the first time a player gets a Super Bowl ring.
Question,
so I'm happy either way.
There's a lot of questions about this on ZBT. I feel that a lot of them this weekend you might have saw. But when people say that's kind of pathetic that Army's been around that long and never had a Super Bowl winner, what do you say to that?
I'd say the DOD has prevented us for the vast majority of that time from allowing players to go into the NFL, and it's only recently that we've had an influx of players. So it just a matter of time.
They stopped guys like Roger Staubach from going, right?
No, he went after the fact, yeah. And I'm pretty sure Chad Henning at Air Force, he's got a couple rings maybe with the Cowboys.
Chad Henning?
Yeah.
Is that like Chad H-E-N-N-E?
No, Chad Hennings.
Oh, I was like, he went to Michigan. What
you want to hear a real interesting college football Eagles Super Bowl tie-in?
Oh, yeah.
One that actually matters.
Mm-hmm.
Old Kate here went to Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Is that a real
she
school?
Developed a little bit
a
of
a
nose beers habit, dropped out, and joined the military.
IUPUA. Yeah.
Guess who was there at the exact same year as I was there?
Oh, I love this question. I'm going to say off the top of my head, I would say maybe Dane Cook.
No, who was there the same time I was there? And I had cheerleader friends who hooked up with several of these football players who were on this team. Who technically then that ties me to this person and gives me a very in-depth sports look at the Super Bowl, none other than Eagles coach Nick Sirianni. Okay.
So then you definitely have to be within 6 degrees of separation of a sexual Super Bowl relationship.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. I basically am.
You've basically had sex with Jalen Hurts.
I you said it, not me.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying, but I'm just saying there's a lot closer relationship to me in sports than people think. Me and Nick Sirianni, there at the same time, we probably walked past each other all the time when I was on my
And you're on the yak with Nick Tirani.
Which rhymes with Sirianni. So I'm just saying, think about it. People are like, oh, Kate's fair weather, blah, blah, blah. Am I? Would I
no,
go on
I don't
IUP
think it's
the
fair
same
weather,
time?
Kate. I think you have such high demands for the Eagles that you don't even pay attention in non-playoff
years. That's right. That's right.
You have such high standards. You're like, look, if these
I'll
fellas
see you
are
in
gonna
the Super Bowl.
Believe,
I'll see you guys in the fucking Super Bowl.
Here.
Otherwise, I'm not gonna look at you.
Yens don't even need to know.
I'm like a tiger mom of the team. Okay, I'll see you when you're at the top.
Tiger Bomb of the team is very different too, because if you put Tiger Bomb on your nuts, you are fucked.
Okay, what Kate, do you think of Sirianni?
Yeah.
I think I have old tweets shitting on him at first. I'm like, who the, because his first
his
first press conference, I was like, what the fuck are we doing? And then you're not going to believe this. As soon as I started doing good, I changed my tune.
When he had his introductory press conference, I think I tweeted out, who the fuck is this pumpkin pie haircutted freak? When he was up there, he just looked like a baby up there.
I love that he's cocky. I love that he's kind of a dickhead. I love that he also, we were just wasting away out at IUP for a while. I totally get what that feels like. I feel like I know. So
it was a little bit of a college type atmosphere too. Like after the game was over, having Jalen Hurts do the Fly Eagles Fly thing, that shit was dope. Like when your players love your city, like Bryce Harper with the Philadelphia Phillies, like he loves the city. Trevor Lawrence has really embraced Jacksonville and Duval. Like when you have that, it makes your team so much more special, especially when they're getting paid to be there. Everybody's like that in college. But when you have players that want to be where they're at professionally, it's awesome. Even if they're faking the funk, even if they don't really give a shit about Philadelphia, acting like they do is awesome.
Oh, when if there's a unit that has, they have to be hot. They have to be very attractive, and good at what they do. But if they are being moto and being motivated and be like, come on, guys, hoorah, blah, blah, blah. And Uggo, if I got up there and was like, come on, devil dogs, they'd be like, fuck. But if a hot person or somebody who's really shit hot, that's true.
And Jalen Hurts is hot.
Yes.
Oh, how about his outfit?
I didn't see his outfit.
You didn't see his outfit going into the game?
No. Keep going, Kate. You're on fire, Kate. What do you got?
I'm just saying it is contagious. It's fucking contagious. Even the most jaded, even right before I was the hot person in my unit could get me like, you know what? This is fucking pretty cool.
Introducing High Noon's all-new Vodka Iced Tea. It's time to finally ditch those sugary malt-based teas and try High Noon Vodka Iced Tea made with real vodka, real iced tea. It's non-carbonated with no added sugar and 90 calories. High Noon Vodka Iced Tea is great for any occasion under the sun. Comes in four delicious flavors you gotta try. Original, peach, lemon, and raspberry. Visit highnoonspirits.com to find a pack near you.
Something to think about.
I don't know what what does that mean, Kate, when you say the hot, who are you referring to?
A motivated person. A lot of times if somebody's being moto, I'm like, oh yeah, okay.
If they're
hot enough,
yeah
then yeah, I'll get on board as well.
All right, what about you, Kate? What do you got?
Nothing. Excited about the Eagles. A lot of the company is going out to Arizona for the Super Bowl. I am not, and I am trying to be in the city for that sucker. I'm trying to be, I might try and weasel my way into Barstool Sansom Street.
What's going on at the old people's home? You can watch it there. Have a live stream.
They're going to have their own party.
That could be popping off.
Oh, yeah. You did a live stream there with some bets with Barstool Sportsbook. That would be fire.
I was there the other week, the other Sunday, and my dad has this group text with all the olds going. And my dad's like, oh, look at this. One of the olds is like, I can't find the Steelers game. And my dad's like, they're not in the playoffs, Tom.
Yeah, you were telling us about that. That was great.
Oh, no, I've been there too often. I'm repeating myself. But I'm trying to be in the city, and my goal is this. To climb the fucking gate at City Hall.
Oh,
okay. I'm still spry enough that I think I can do it. I've been spending a lot of time in those.
I kind of disagree with that, but I would like to see you try.
Okay.
I don't want you to get hurt ultimately, though. Like,
I do.
I'm sorry, did you see the video?
A little bit.
No. Did you see the video of the folks that were standing on top of the bus stop and then that collapsed in?
Well,
I didn't see that, but that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's dangerous as hell. I don't know. I just don't get you, Philly folks. I'm all about like parading in the streets afterwards celebrating. What's wrong with people? Like, why are you like breaking things? What's wrong with you people?
I love to break stuff. Like, I'd break stuff too.
And it was accidental breakage, whatever.
No, there's a lot of on purpose breaking.
The Jags won the Super Bowl. I'm lighting my own house on fire.
I mean, exactly. Jags win the Super Bowl. Florida might float off into the ocean with the.
You might as well cut it off, and I'll ride it the whole thing. I'll ride it like a fucking. One of those floaty boards that you stand on, the paddle boards.
Paddleboard, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this much. Last time the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I was freshly divorced. And I was out in the town. I got into the city for the parade at the crack of dawn, paraded all the way from down near the stadium, all the way up to City Hall, watched Jason Kelce's speech, continued on a bar crawl through West Philly towards Delco, wound up in media bar hopping, ended up getting a bartender's phone number. He came over. And right away, I got a Facebook message from his longtime girlfriend saying, I'm going to come over and beat your ass. I said, holy shit, what a day.
I believe her.
That's Philly for you.
Best day of my life.
And that was after you went down on a last minute trip to New Orleans NFC Championship game.
So I'm just saying.
What year was that? 2018?
I'm just saying I'm looking forward
17.
To what's 17. To come. I don't want to jinx anything. I probably did. I didn't. I feel good is all I'm saying. I'm excited. I feel good. That's it.
All right. And okay. For me, one, I got to give the VA some huge props. I told you last week that I was going to the VA for the dentist. I got to say, top two, three experiences of the dentist in my life.
Oh, I forgot you went to the dentist. Oh,
yeah, it's a brand new clinic, which I'm sure helped out a ton. But they even had the fancy, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, and this might show how terrible military medicine is. They had this new x-ray machine that you just stick your little teeth into. It's like this little plastic piece, and then it goes around your head, and you don't even have to put those stupid paper things in your mouth where it like tears up the side of your mouth.
I hate those things.
It just goes around you. They don't even have to do it. It takes like 2 seconds. Then the guy came in. I was wearing like a Jags hoodie, started talking to me about how much Urban Meyer sucks. So immediately we're on the same side of the fence there. Then he's coming in and he's like, hey, this is what we got to do. And you know what I think really made my experience better is that it was the first time I knew I was at a dentist that these people see teeth that are exponentially worse than mine every single day. And so I'm like, I'm probably like an average teeth haver here, which feels pretty good. Today, I got to go back. They're doing something called scaling.
Dude, that stinks. I know. Have to have that all the time. It stinks.
I'm not looking forward to that at
all. No, I'm sorry. I don't even want to sugarcoat it. It's not great.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna put in my AirPods during that, and I'm gonna listen to nothing but Avenged Sevenfold and Rage Against the Machine, just so I hate myself even more. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Secondly, I'm still on the vinyl kicks, my friend. It's awesome. Took the whole squad to the used bookstore. What do you know? In the fancy section, as soon as I walk in, I look over to my right, I see Dr. Dre's The Chronic there. Ain't that just like the Lord? Yeah, picked that bad boy up.
Like that.
Came in, started to give him the little switch. Ain't nothing but a G thing, baby, indeed. Lastly, my kids are growing up and it stinks out loud. Like Kelsey had to take the bus by herself today for the first time, having her do it. And I'm like more nervous for her than she is.
Like the
city bus. Yeah. So she has to go like downtown and do some other things. And so watching her, like I'm like trying to let her be an adult where I'm not watching her on Google Maps, where I don't have like a tracker on her phone where I could see everywhere she's at. Like go out and do your thing. So she did a trial run to a place that she has to go downtown every day this week. So she does a trial run yesterday. She goes past the stop that she's supposed to, like Kate's been known to do occasionally in New York. But she has no idea where she's going. The place that she's supposed to go is only like 7 minutes away on the bus. I get a text from her an hour later. She's like, hey, Dad, I'm standing on the street in downtown. And it looks like a kind of a bad area.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, you were going legitimately 2 miles. How did you end up 15 miles away? And then the bus broke down. Her bus broke down. Whoa. And so she had to wait an additional 30 minutes to come back. This round trip should have taken her 45 minutes. It took her 4 hours to do it yesterday. Yeah. And I wanted to look out for her and like go pick her up when she's in this place. But I'm like, she has to be an adult at some point. Dad's not going to be there. So like throwing your kids out of the nest and like fly or don't fly. It's a lot like being a staff NCO and having your platoon do stuff without you for the first time. Like you've trained them as much as you possibly can, but you always want to be there and supervise, but there's going to be a time where they're going to have to do it on their own. And they're going to have to have little to no command supervision. They're doing all this stuff and she's doing it. She just texted me like 5 minutes ago, got here on time, Dad. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. But
well done.
That little snafu, that's also a learning experience.
That's
so now
exactly
she knows
what I texted her. That's exactly what I texted her, Cons. I said, you went through what could possibly be the worst scenario. Like you went downtown, you had to wait around there, you're by yourself, you did everything, and then you made it back home. But she's riding a scooter to all these places and the bus stop's like 2.5 miles away. It was 33 degrees this morning.
Oh,
so her first day going. Yeah, I texted her when I was taking Cardi. I was like, "Hun, you're gonna need the biggest coat you have and a hoodie whenever you're doing this, because it's like legit cold." She'd have never She'd have been like in a skirt and shit going down there, cold as fuck. But that's being a dad, I guess.
There you go. All right, tough treat. I'm glad you made it.